Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
What the hell's going on here? I literally told him, I was like, you're in high school. And then he's like, no, I'm not in high school. Like, you f***ing idiot. You know? I was like, ah, oh, jeez, this guy's definitely not coming here now.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
Kind of the main difference is that we're just pouring our hearts and souls into the sport. And I know our guys want to win. And that's what hurt in that moment. And what I had to kind of overcome and come to the realization, you know, this is what I signed up for.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Whether you are walking to work, on the way to classes, jogging, whatever you want to do, like to do during podcasts, we welcome you in to the 9th episode of Athletes Unfiltered. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Ekstrom, and along with me, Nebraska quarterback Adrian Martinez. Adrian, been a couple weeks since we've been in the studio. How have you been?
I've been good. You know, I've been good. Just steady grind. You know how season is. It's very time consuming, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Your season, though, at this point, you know it. You know the grind.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's almost less of a grind now because I'm accustomed to it. I know what to expect, and it's one of those things you have to fully embrace. And I'd say I know how to do that.
Well, you had a couple games these last 2 weeks. We're going to explore both of them. First, let's start with Buffalo. But actually, before we start with Buffalo, let's just remind folks, we have a huge episode up ahead. QB room, all you want to know about what's it like to be a quarterback in Nebraska.
Yeah. It might be my favorite episode just because of the guys that are in it. Obviously, I spend more time with them than anyone. We go through all the same sort of preparation. We're all under Coach Verdue. Just guys that mean a whole heck of a lot to me. And we share some special stories and excited for people to be able to hear some of these personalities that might not have been in the limelight and some who haven't been in the limelight yet, you know, like a Heinrich Harburg or Logan Smothers, and hearing some of Matt's stories. You know, special that we were able to share them on this platform.
More importantly, 3 out of the 5 people in that conversation are from Kearney.
Oh, you have to remind me. I know I'm reminded all the time. Our room's dominated by Kearney. Kearney, Nebraska. I know way too much about you.
That's the way it should be.
It must be a pretty decent place. I know quite a few people that I'm pretty close to.
It has its benefits, you know, way with every city. But let's talk about Buffalo a little bit. I mean, 28-3 win. Now, how upset were you that Logan didn't get that touchdown?
Yeah, well, I mean, quite frankly, I thought it was bullshit. You know, I did. You know, but some things are out of your control, and whether the refs decide to call something or don't is not necessarily one of those things you can control. So, hated to see that for a young guy who was gaining some confidence out there, making some plays, and I think he made a hell of a play there with the pitch. Just didn't go our way. We definitely left some points on the board there, and you hate to see that. But he made a good play, and he knows in his heart of hearts he made the right play.
Did you give him a little crap there at the end? Be like, bro, why'd you throw it forward? Just messing with him a little bit.
I didn't. We were all on the same side okay, there. We were like, what the hell is that? You know, it should be a touchdown. But, hey, you know, I know the refs, they heard it from the crowd, which was appreciated on our end.
Now, I think one of the bigger storylines that I noticed was, obviously, Samari Torre, you hooking up with him for 68 yards on 2 separate plays. And a comment I made to some of my friends afterwards was, I think you finally found your new Stanley Morgan in terms of, it seems like you really have chemistry down with a receiver like that, with Samari. Something that has not exactly been there 100% these past couple of seasons. What would you say to that.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair assessment. And for me, I'm in just such a new spot than I was my freshman year. And it really all starts with, how do I want to phrase this? You know, like I truly respect all the things Samori does off the field, on the field, the work he puts in and his veteran sort of savvy way of getting open. And I can trust a guy like that. And yeah, we put in the extra time in the off season, and I have a lot of faith in him. And it showed in those big spots and some of those throws. And he's a hell of a player. And luckily, this year we have a lot of guys who are right there with him, who I have a lot of trust in as well, that have really stepped up.
Yeah, I mean, those plays are fun. I mean, what? This season you guys had a lot of big plays compared to the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that was somewhat of a point of emphasis, something that we know we needed to be better at least I definitely knew myself. Needed explosive plays, needed to stretch the field vertically, and that's something we have done so far. We need to keep doing it. It's easier said than done, and something I'm sure that opposing teams will be keying on.
Well, let's talk about what everyone wants to hear about, and that's Oklahoma. Guys dropped that one 23-16, but you guys played well. I mean, I know you mentioned in your press conferences you guys are over moral victories. I think it was still impressive the way you guys played against them in hostile territory on the road. Give us a quick assessment.
Yeah, I'll start with this. You know, what an amazing experience, a truly amazing experience. You know, you could feel it in the air that the game was important, that it truly mattered, and it was a different atmosphere. I loved every second of it except the outcome, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're a good team. You know, they're what we expected from that front, and that they brought it. They had a lot of talent, a lot of speed, and our mentality was ready for that, and we knew and still know that we're capable of beating a team with that type of talent, and we're confident in ourselves. And we stood toe-to-toe with them.
I mean, you said in our Patreon episode, make sure to go to Athletes Unfiltered on Patreon if you're not a member already, but you mentioned that Oklahoma is one of your dream college football opponents, and it seems like they lived up to that hype.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, and seeing the Nebraska N and the OU from Oklahoma going up against each other again, I know that meant a lot to fans, and it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me to be a part of that, and I said in my post-game presser, and I really do feel this way, that I wish I could have put more of a stamp on that rivalry. I wish we could have, and that's something that does hurt, you know. But you have to move on. You have to put those things behind you and take the positives from it and learn from some of those negative aspects and move forward.
Now, obviously, I think your performance in that game stands out among the whole game itself. Did you feel that you were really having a good game along the way?
Not necessarily in that sense. You know, it wasn't in my mind like I was thinking, like, you know, yeah, I'm having a good game. It's more of we're locked in as a unit right now. Let's continue. It's not really focusing on that, like sort of a – you know, it's almost hard to explain, but you want to try and maintain some sort of flow, and it's not about, oh, I'm having a good game. When I get caught up thinking about that on the field, you're going to miss something. Yeah. You got to stay as present as possible, and that's what I was trying to do, because they'll hit your ass. You know what I mean?
Like,
you know, you're thinking about something else. You're thinking about, oh, how many passing yards do I have? Oh, here comes a weak side blitz, and you just get your head knocked off. You know what I mean? Like, you have to stay present in that moment. And it wasn't necessarily until after the fact, and I watched the film, and I was like, okay, you know, I made some good plays here, I made some good decisions, now let's stay down this path.
Well, another cool thing that happened too was you getting Omar involved, getting 21-yard touchdown, first time that Omar Manning really has, his name's really been called for a significant play on the field for Nebraska. How good did that feel to get him involved too, because he's had a long journey to finally making a play like that?
Yeah, he most definitely has, and I'm incredibly proud of him, you know, and I know the team is as well, and we love that guy. He earned it. He earned that moment, and I'm really happy about it too. You know, I'm really happy he's going to be out there more consistently, and he proved sort of his reliability in a way in the OU game. And, you know, I think his role is only going to grow as we move forward, which is a good thing for our offense as a whole. I mean, he's a stud. He's a hell of a talent. I think anyone can see that, and he's growing into his own.
Now, can you tell Cam to just calm down a little bit?
Yeah, all beef jerky. You know, I know Nebraska wasn't having any of those penalties, and neither were we. I mean, it's hard to comment on ref calls, but that one's a tough one to swallow. You know, the guy gave up on the play, in my opinion, and when you're getting blocked 30 yards down the field, you shouldn't get bailed out. Bailout penalties and real penalties are one thing. If it's a penalty that's making a play defined or a game defining play, it alters it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right. But that, you know what I mean? It was just, yeah. It was just hard to swallow. I even said it right in the moment. I was like, my guy wasn't giving up on the play. Their guy was giving up. I was trying to, it never works, but I was trying to argue with the refs, maybe put in one last point for them to be like, oh, let's take the flag back. And it didn't work.
Well, like Coach Frost said, he'd rather give a guy whoa instead of giddy up.
Yeah, what a quote. I like that.
Now, I think the other big one, big play, not necessarily, it was on Oklahoma's defense, that one-handed pick.
Mm.
And
we had to talk about it? You didn't even give me any warning you're going to bring this up, you know?
Because I want to get this out there. It cost Oklahoma 30 yards.
Yeah.
As good as it was, it cost them yards.
I mean, look, I'll say this. A hell of a play.
Yeah.
A hell of a play. And, you know, I can't wait to watch myself on the freaking ESPYs all year, and maybe for the play of the year, I have to watch myself on ESPN every time Oklahoma's going to play. I have to see me throw a pick and some guy, Odell Beckham, one-hand catch this with no context outside of that. I want to put this out there. I want to justify a little bit the throw. 4th and 18, you can't go down with the ball.
Yeah.
You're down multiple scores. You need to give someone a chance. You need to put it up. You can't go down. We're in this situation just for what? Just for my stats? No. Fuck that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're gonna give someone a chance. Now, no one panned to my reaction for that pick, but the guy picked it off, and I was like, damn, that's a hell of a play.
Yeah.
All right, got to respect it, move on. I just hate I have to see it every time I go on social media now. It's like it won't die down. I saw the Lions and Packers play, and that was Monday Night Football, and the receiver went up and almost made an insane catch. And when he dropped it, I was pissed. I was like, damn, that was my opportunity right there. That play could have been erased.
Yep.
Erased from all social media feeds with this guy making this play. But it's all good. You know what I mean? If this guy gets, yeah, it's going to be replayed forever. But, hey, is what it is. One of those things.
I must be a nerd because the minute I saw that, I'm like, it cost their team 30 yards.
It did. And ultimately, they punted, and we had a short field, and we scored, and that was to our advantage. But you're not going to tell that guy to not make
no
play.
You're not going to tell him not to do that.
If one of our Nebraska guys made that play, I'm not like, man, what are you doing? You know, it's like, wow, that's a hell of a play. But when Nebraska were like, oh, you dummy, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. I love it though.
Well, let's get into the mailbag. We have another one for you. Husker fans were quick to ask some questions. We got some good ones. Let's go with the first one here. We've already kind of, talked about it, but Herbie's Burner asked, did Juergens deserve those penalties against Oklahoma? And he says in parentheses, the correct answer is no, he's just their daddy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what a comment.
Cam played his ass off. He truly did. And in my mind, and I would say in every one of my teammates' minds, he did not deserve those penalties. And really, it just showed his toughness and his resolve, I think. It was great for our linemen to see, and they love that stuff, and we feed off it, and it gave us energy. So 10 out of 10 times, I'd take him finishing blocks like that.
Austin Hoffman also asks, I'm curious, what are those conversations like after games when you meet in the middle of the field?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So I have a few little stories about this. My old roommate, Barrett Pickering, he was a kicker. So there's apparently this little deal that the kickers, a punter, and long snappers all line up at the same spot on the field right when the game's about to end and make sure that they go shake hands. And so there's something similar to that with quarterbacks is we always find a way to say hello, whatever, like good game. Nothing usually special happens. All the shit talk that happens on the field doesn't carry after the game. Usually it's, all right, respect. And with me, you know, whenever defensive guys are talking smack like OU was or like any other team, After the game, they're nothing but respectful, like, hey, you played a great game, blah, 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 blah. It's usually around what it is, like, good luck the rest of the year, or, for example, after the Buffalo game, the Buffalo head coach came and sought me out and was like, you're a tough-ass player. Yeah. And that might be one of the most favorite things I've ever been told after a game. Like, that's a high compliment for mm-hmm. me. The OU game, there was a former teammate of mine, high school teammate. His name was Caleb Kelly, outside linebacker there. And we each sat and chatted for a little bit, but it was more just about catching up mm-hmm. and took a little picture. And then I obviously, quarterback thing, Spencer Rattler came up to me and was, good game, best of luck the rest of the year. And it's usually a pretty quick convo, nothing extensive.
Well, another question that I think, I can't find it, but I do remember it. Someone asked, do you have like a really good relationship with another quarterback at other colleges across the country?
Mm.
That's what I'm really curious about.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you define really good relationship, I guess. But about, I'd say a couple years ago, I went to the Manning Passing Academy, and I got the chance to hang out for a little under a week with some of the best quarterbacks in the country, and that was an awesome experience. I got to get close to Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Jake Fromm and a whole cast of guys that are have moved on, but still some guys that are in college that I try and keep up with, like JT Daniels and Matt Corral, two guys that I really enjoy being around. They're both California guys, so I knew them before. There's a little bit of that element with quarterbacks that a lot of guys know of each other but don't know each other until they get to hang out in that sort of setting. So, yeah, I mean, I even got to hang out with Trevor Lawrence there at the Manning Passing Academy, and just a ton of guys who are in the league or are doing big things now. And for the most part, those guys are awesome. Awesome. And it's really cool getting to share that type of experience and they have a lot of shared experiences, you know, being in the same sort of position you are at a certain school and understanding that role and the leadership. And there's certain things you could talk to about them that you might not get to talk to about with anyone else.
But say, certain positions have their kind of own fraternity amongst each other.
Yeah.
I've noticed. And quarterback is one of those.
100%. 100%. And during the year, guys are generally pretty busy, but in the off season, I'll definitely hit up a couple of those guys and see how they're doing and see where their minds are at, and maybe we'll meet up and little things like that. You never know. I've had the chance to meet all types of guys, so it'll be interesting to see after this year maybe some new friendships.
Well, quarterback room is coming up. You're listening to Athletes Unfiltered. But Adrian, before we get to that, let's talk about Michigan State coming up. This will release before Michigan State. They've kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. They're kind of like the darlings of the Big Ten right now, ranked number 20, 4-0, I believe.
Yeah, 3-0.
3-0, okay, 3-0. Yeah.
Beat Miami, beat Northwestern to open the year. I believe Northwestern was ranked at the beginning of the year. And they beat someone else, I should know. I've watched the game a million fucking times. But either way, that one wasn't as prevalent.
But what's your early evaluation of them?
They're tough. You know, they're a tough team, and they're riding high right now. We get to go play them at night, which I am super psyched about. That'll be a fun, fun game. But they're talented. They do some crazy stuff on the defensive side of the ball that I'm looking forward to facing. You know, they had some success against Miami's Derek King and their offense. They threw the ball 60 times for almost 400 yards, but that kind of tells the type of game it was. So I'm excited for the challenge, especially after coming off a game like we had against Oklahoma. This is a totally different team. They're good in different ways, so I'm excited for that.
You guys have gotten used to playing Mel Tucker a little bit. Back here's Colorado, now back in Michigan State.
Yeah, I know. I would say, you know, I got asked a question about somehow tying those things together at my weekly presser, and there's not a whole lot of correlation on the defensive side of the ball. They have a defensive coordinator who's more dominant there in the calls that they make, and they don't do some of the same things they did at Colorado. So they have a different identity. But nonetheless, it'll be fun, and I think we need to even the score there.
Kickoff 6 o'clock on FS1, but everyone listening already knows that. So.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Well, coming up, the QB Room episode, what everyone has been looking forward to. Logan Smothers, Matt Masker, Henry Harburg, and of course, Adrian Martinez. It's a great one.
Yes, it is.
Don't go away. QB Room up next on Athletes Unfiltered, Episode 9. Come on. Welcome back. Episode number 9 of Athletes Unfiltered. Jeff Ekstrom along with Adrian Martinez, as always. And Adrian, we decided to go to the QB room, your territory. We brought in three of them, Henrik Harburg, Matt Masker, and Logan Smothers joining us. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, buddy.
Yep, glad to be here.
Oh, look at that. I'm just excited they're able to make it. I'm excited I was able to make it, running a little late today, but these guys stayed for me, so much appreciated.
Now, I already told him the first question I was going to ask. Golf is a very apparent topic that comes up. I was going to ask, out of the QB room, who is the best golfer?
Well, I can give you that answer right away. I'd say it's Masker. It's got to be Matt Masker. Mm. The guy has, his girlfriend's on the golf team. He gets free tips all the time. There's a clear advantage there. Harburg, I don't want to see swing a club. I know this guy can't swing. Logan, I don't know. I don't know about Logan.
You know, I definitely have an advantage, you know, as far as that goes. I think it depends on the day between Adrian and I who wins. If we're actually playing golf, honestly, I appreciate it, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Just got some new irons, too. So
you know, I got my dad's hand-me-down clubs from, like, 2004, and they were great. You know, it's not the clubs. It's the swing, but... You know, it's a little bit
of the clubs, though. I really believe that. I don't know if that just says to like what kind of player I am.
Confidence level.
Yeah.
Confidence level.
There you go.
Well, hey, Athletes Unfiltered golf outing. I'm putting it out now.
Ooh, we'll get that. We'll get a little tourney going.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of guys who've been on here that have talked smack. Are you going to get into golf, Harbert?
No.
Wow, what an answer. Let's put the mic up on this guy.
No, I don't think stepping into that territory would be smart, considering I've never golfed before.
Hey, I didn't either, really, until I got here. Because during the summer, you know, it's just a vibe, and there's not a ton out to do, and you get out with the teammates. I'll get you on it. Don't worry.
We'll get some lessons for him.
Yeah. Masker will give him the lessons. He's got the tips.
I don't know about Henrik, but I'm just kidding. I'll give Henrik some lessons.
Let's dive in already to kind of the dynamic between you two. So if you guys didn't know, our room is overrun with Kearney kids.
Let's go.
Yeah, and Jeff's a Kearney guy himself, so this pod is Kearney. What's the dynamic like that between you two? And obviously I know a little bit, but you were a senior. Henrik was a freshman. Did you know what he was going to be, where he was going to end up? Or,
you know, when I was a senior, yeah, Henrik was a freshman, and, you know, I was the big man on campus coming into my senior year, expecting to have a really good year, and Henrik was just coming in, and, you know, I knew the kid, didn't really know him that well. And, you know, when he was a freshman, he was a skinny kind of – not very coordinated. And
get roasted, kid.
No, I'm not roasting him. I'm not roasting him at all. The kid had a super strong arm, and he was super fast.
Yeah.
And so I saw him. I was like, okay, this kid could be something, you know.
Definitely.
This kid could – I saw a lot of potential at first. And, you know, right when I left, the kid grew like 6 inches. And I was like – I came back one time. It was like spring of my freshman year in college, and – came back to do some drills with Henrik, and he was like 6'5". You know, I'm still my same 6'2". I'm like, dude, what? Are you taking steroids? What's going on? He grew like 6 inches in a year. What happened? And, you know, like nothing surprised me about where Henrik ended up or the offers that he got. I always saw the potential in him even as a young kid. Mm. So I'm by no means surprised by that, but it's just cool. The dynamic that we have, it's like, it's kind of repeating itself. It's, you know, it's a senior freshman thing again. Although I'm like a redshirt sophomore still somehow. I don't know how. But
wait, hold on. What now? You're a redshirt sophomore?
I got like 3 years eligibility. So I might be in college, so I'm 30, but that's beside the point.
Oh, my gosh. But, I didn't even think about that.
You know, it's kind of cool just that I get a mentor, Heinrich, again. You know, it's just a really cool dynamic between us. But
yeah, I mean, I remember as a freshman, Matt was like Superman in Kearney Catholic. Like, everyone still wants to be like Matt and Kearney.
Yeah, I want to be like Matt.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. it's a thing on our team. Yeah. It really is.
Like, you go back to Kearney and you're like, "How's Matt doing?" I'm like, "Oh, he's pretty good."
You know,
thanks for asking.
Yeah, they don't ask you about about Matt.
No, yeah, I mean, everyone in Kearney just loves and respects Matt so much. I mean, even just from high school.
Yeah, I feel that. Logan, let's just turn this into the Matt Masker podcast. That's what we should do. What were your initial – we're jumping all over the place, but what were your initial thoughts, like, coming into the quarterback room and the guys you met? And I know you have a great bond with Matt here as well.
Yeah, you know, at first I was a little anxious being there with all you guys on Vedril, a bunch of studs. So
yeah, we had Noah Ved in the room at the time, yeah.
A lot of hype to live up to, so but, I mean, y'all did a great job welcoming me to the room, and like you said, me and Matt got a good water boy bond.
Yeah, you want to give the audience a little take there of what you got?
How did that start?
Needle neck.
One day I just hear Matt go, and I was like, dude, you like water boy?
So, you know, Logan was kind of a shyer guy when he came in, and he didn't really say a whole lot.
Yeah.
And so it was like probably a month or two in to Logan coming in. And I'm like, we got to get this kid out of his shell a little bit, you know, because every freshman has that point where, you know, doesn't talk much. He's kind of scared of the upperclassmen. And then there's something that kind of breaks him out of his shell. And I found out that he loved the movie Waterboy. And so there's one day in lifting, I started acting like Bobby Boucher, about ready to light someone up in the A-gap.
Yeah.
You know, going, what'd you call me? And Logan absolutely loved that. And then we just had this water boy inside joke. And so wherever I see him, I go, you know, I make a reference of water boy. And that's kind of where our
still
bond
lives.
Started.
It still lives.
And then Purdue, we're at Purdue in the hotel, and me and Matt, the night before, we actually watched Waterboy. So
did you actually?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a pregame thing, like you go, like your go-to watch? I mean, Waterboy for you guys, I guess. But for me, I always watch Ridiculousness for whatever reason. Me and Ved used to watch it every single night.
You know, I wouldn't say I have a pregame show that I like to watch or a movie. It's like the one night a week I'm guaranteed 8 hours of sleep. So I usually try to put in some kind of softer music, and I lay down and I try to fall asleep at a good time.
What a disciplined guy.
No,
you low-key sound like you're 50 with that.
No, I know.
I'm not going to lie. Like,
no, but honestly, like, you know, I'm big with just honestly sitting down praying with some scripture or something and putting on some soft music. You can ask Logan. He'll be working on his quarterback test or whatever, and you know, I usually have it done, and because you know, this is his first year, so it's like his brain's going everywhere. So
subtle diss.
No,
I'm just.
And it's like he'd be working on his test, and I'd be trying to fall asleep, and that's just like it was like the one night where I was guaranteed a good night's sleep. So I tried to go to bed like as early as I could.
I definitely get that, because I mean, we're waking up so dang early every day for practice, because we're a morning practice team. That's just how it goes.
But I was gonna ask, I think, Logan, when you bring it up, this is kind of like your first year, I guess, like Matt mentioned. How was it coming into Nebraska amidst COVID? Because obviously that's a freshman experience that's just not great and wasn't ideal. How was that going through all that?
Yeah, so I early enrolled to come for spring, and we got two practices in, and they cut it, so we had to go home. So, you know, that sucked for me, because that's the whole reason that I came early was to get that spring. So not getting that was really a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget about that. We had two practices and like skeletons, skeletons or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like two not real practices. I remember it that, yeah. I remember thinking at that time too. It was like, you know, all right. No spring ball, but we'll be back. It'll be fine. Like, this is going to be a couple month thing, and you know, here we are. It's
how
still
optimistic.
A thing. Yeah,
how
I know.
Optimistic that was.
Way too optimistic. Good grief. Good grief. Let's jump back. So what's the adjustment been for you? You know, you are obviously from Alabama coming to Nebraska. I'm a California guy coming to Nebraska, but I assume the dynamic there's a little bit different. Was that a big adjustment for you?
Honestly, not really. You know, there's still kind of like the country vibe a little bit here
yeah,
in Nebraska.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
A couple rednecks, so that, you know, makes you feel like home. But everyone here is super nice, super welcoming, so I've had really no problem with that. Just reminds you of home.
Yeah, definitely. And these guys, Kearney, homegrown Huskers right here.
Yes, sir.
What about kind of the adjustment football-wise? Would you say that was a big leap for you from what you came from? Just like the level of play, or maybe, I know for me, the biggest thing was kind of the playbook and just the size of it. And that's one of the biggest adjustments as a quarterback, is coming from a high school offense that you know in and out. It's fairly easy. You get to college and there's a million other things you're responsible for, a million other things you have to know. And then you have to try and direct other guys, and you got to know everything, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely been a big adjustment. You know, high school is pretty simple for the most part. We ran, I mean, similar offense here, RPO stuff. But here, especially with Verdue, you have to know every single thing that every position
has. All the details.
Yep, everything. So that's definitely been a big difference. But, you know, it's been tough. But
it's a process.
Yeah,
you know, it's a process, and it's an ever-going process. I feel like even the greats are still learning, you know.
Oh, yeah, always learning on the go.
And how big has this year, I mean, first real fall camp, what, in 2 years?
Yeah, yeah.
So how big has that been, just being able to, obviously you had a season last year, but having this fall camp, how important has that been for your development to learning a playbook? And that can be for Heinrich as well, first coming in freshman and whatnot.
Yeah, so, I mean, last year still was a little different from COVID. So it's good just to have an actual, like, set schedule of mm-hmm. here, we're mm-hmm. practicing this, this, and that. So that's been good, just having our regular meetings with Verdue. I'd say that's helped the most part, just being with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Logan said, he didn't get a spring. And I mean, I feel for him, because that spring was the biggest part in me learning the playbook, because, you know, that was like 2 or 3 hours a day with Verdue every day, just by myself, just learning the playbook. Yeah. And I mean, without that, if I would have came in to fall, I don't know where I'd be right now.
Yeah, because it is a lot. It is a lot. Yeah. I mean, and that's just part of it. But yeah, I kind of forget about that, man. I forget about how young you are. I make a joke. We all kind of make a joke that Logan's like the oldest guy in the room. Like, he's 30 already, you know, but he's really not. He's still a young cat. You are kind of old, though.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
Yeah, you're 20, and I'm 21. I just want to throw that out there. Heinrich's 16 and Masker's 23, so redshirt sophomore. No, I love it. I love it. I'm so glad you guys are here and that we can kind of share a little bit of our dynamic. That's one thing I've been fortunate enough since I've been here, is the quarterback room's always been really good. Yeah. But right now we are as tight as we've ever been, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, I mean, I know coming in, I didn't think it'd be like this.
Yeah. What were you expecting? I'm curious. You know, I know you probably watched Nebraska games. You probably seen me play.
Yeah.
What were you expecting coming in?
If I'm being honest, I thought you were going to be uptight and stuck up.
Damn. All right. Keep going. I need more.
I don't know what I was expecting, but, like, you know, I was just thinking, you know, Power 5 quarterback room, like, it's just going to be a whole bunch of dogs. Like, I mean, we are dogs.
Okay, yeah, I needed that.
But, like, I meant, like, just rude, complete asses all the time.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I kind of expected everybody to be like, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, this is competition. I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah. Well, the thing is it is like that at some other places. And I always say this. There's, like, two types of quarterbacks. There's, like, the douchebags, and then there's, like, the good guys. And I don't think there's an in-between.
Yeah.
And for the most part, been lucky enough to have good guys. Been lucky enough to have all good guys in the QB room and have a really great dynamic. You know what I mean? And I'm glad you felt that way. You know, welcome. And we push each other, and it's still competitive. But if you're not having fun with it, you can't enjoy. I mean, we're with each other all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. If we didn't enjoy our room, like, it would suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I've heard, like, horror stories from other places where it's just not like that.
I remember on my official visit to Ohio State, me and my dad were in the quarterback room with y'all, and y'all were playing Clash Royale. Y'all were just sitting there joking, playing. I was like, yeah, I can see myself doing this. So
you
that was
vibe.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Sigh of relief, like, okay.
That's awesome, yeah. And when it's, and trust me, when Verdue gets in there and it's time for business, it's time for business. But he even has a way that I hope you guys notice, but he brings energy every single day. I mean, one way or another, in the meeting room, on the practice field, and it's kind of an undervalued thing, especially in day, I don't even know what day it is, like day 20 of fall camp. The guy is up here with everything. And, you know, sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that little push, and he's always there with that.
Yeah, he's going on 3 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah, this guy, we had like this, one night we had a person, I think, what's it called? The athletic performance team we have here in Nebraska.
Brett, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Brett and some other people came and talked about the importance of sleep and kind of the exponential effects it has for you, either positively or negatively. And, you know, we get back in our meeting room because we have some more position meetings after that. And this guy's like, yeah, you know, I get, he's like, I get 8 hours. Like, do you really? He's like, yeah, but I'm here every morning at 4:30, which he is. He's guy loves football and he loves preparing us, and I love him for it. But 4:30 in the morning. Like, what time you go to bed, coach? What'd he say? Like
10:30.
Yeah, 10:30. Like, 8 hours, huh? Like, that's what I've been doing all my life. It's all I need.
I was gonna ask, what is each of yours' favorite Verdue moment?
Okay, I'm gonna say this week? The Monty Python off LeBron?
That was hilarious.
I want to pick a happy one, so we're going to go with that. He was telling us about the Life of Brian, this Monty Python movie, and he was going over a certain scene, and the man is laying there, like, bawling, crying, trying to just quote the scene, and we were all dying. It was
Watching our coach die laughing at something, like, trying to describe this scene from some movie from the 70s. it was awesome.
And he made it seem so funny, and then we went back and watched it, and it wasn't that funny.
Yeah, it was more funny just listening to him describe it.
You go first. I'm so
favorite. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, that's definitely one of them. Is like when we're all laughing together.
Yeah,
you know, that's always a favorite moment or favorite memory that we have. Honestly, it was just my birthday this last week, and when you wished me happy birthday, it was honestly one of the best, most genuine happy birthdays I've ever had. So it was cool. It was probably one of the best moments we've had. So
awesome.
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a whole lot of Verdue moments, even just being here for like 8 months.
You could totally
bring up. But I mean, like Adrian said, like you're at the facility and you wake up at 6 and you get there at 7, and I mean, you're just dead. Like, you're just dragging yourself in. You're dragging your
Heinrich. Speak for yourself, bro. Yeah. Speak for yourself. Right, I'm not dragging myself.
I come in jacked up on coffee every morning.
Jacked up on Mountain Dew.
You know what? All right, I'm dragging my shoulder pads into Hawks every morning, just like half asleep. And he comes in and he just instantly, as soon as he walks in, like he could be meaner than a bear, but I mean it just. you just kind of perk up a little bit.
Oh yeah. It's hard for me. I feel like I've been with Verdue forever, you know, and not in a bad way. Like I love it. And the big thing about him that you can't get out of every college coach, and it's not common on the college scene, is a guy that genuinely cares about you as a person. And that's hard to find. And yeah, he's going to push you, and he's made tough decisions when it comes to me and my play in the past, but it's never detracted from personally what he's meant to me and what he's done for me in my life. It's hard to say. I'd say maybe some of the little things he says, like his wife's name's Kate, and before, like, it's almost like probably a couple times a week thing. He's like, I get to see Kate tonight and you don't, motherfuckers. And then walks out the room like, all right, coach. Tell her hi for me. Just a little stuff like that, you know. He's awesome. He has his moments for sure, but he's awesome.
Something I do, I guess I'm kind of backtracking here a little bit, and being from Kearney, I want to know the recruiting stories between Heinrich and Matt here.
Masker's got a great one.
Because obviously, being from Nebraska in a quarterback position, it's like there is some like pressure a little bit about maybe if you have the chance to go to Nebraska, you should. Like, how did that kind of dynamic work in terms of your recruitment?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I had a very successful, very good high school career.
To say the least.
And, you know, had a lot of fun in high school playing football. And, you know, as a freshman in high school, I always thought I was going to be a college baseball player. That was kind of...
Little League World Series alum?
Yeah, and, you know, baseball was my first love. And, you know, I always loved football, always loved playing quarterback. And it wasn't really until, so my freshman year, I tore my labrum in my hip running track and ended up missing that baseball season and the whole entire year. And that was kind of be a big summer for me to get recruited and whatnot. And ended up just kind of studying the playbook the whole entire summer. And somehow I got surgery in May, and I ended up playing football in August somehow. And I ended up winning the starting job as a sophomore. And, you know, my football career kind of took off. I just had a really good sophomore year. Started getting a little bit of D2 interest and stuff. And junior year continued to happen. And senior year continued to have that success. And, you know, I would go to a bunch of football camps. You know, I'd go to, you know, Nebraska, Iowa State, South Dakota State, North Dakota State. All these schools were interested in me. But they never offered. And you know, I'd go and throw for these coaches, and I always thought I threw extremely well. I could make every throw on the field. But I never got an offer, and I still don't know why that was. You know, I had any D2 offer in the country I wanted. If I wanted to go that route, I had a Iowa Western option, which is really good. You know, I'm sure Division I offers would have come out of that somewhere. But never got that offer. So coming down to my senior season, you know, I always, you know, give Coach Frost crap about this, but ended up breaking some of his football records. And, you know, I think that's kind of what got his attention in the first place. Was otherwise, you know, he would never have probably heard of me. And so Coach Frost, my senior year, gets hired as a Nebraska head coach. And that was in December. And, I'm thinking I'm probably going to go to Northwest Missouri State, which is, you know, the D2 national champs, or Iowa Western, the JUCO national champs. So, you know, two really good options. And then Coach Frost, you know, I remember I was sitting in the Kearney Catholic gym and I was getting ready for a basketball game. And I looked down at my phone and I see a text from Coach Frost, and I say, "Hey, Matt, this is Coach Frost. What are you doing on December 17th or something?" And I go, "Hey, Coach, nothing much." And I look down at my phone and I go, "You really think this is Coach Frost?"
Yeah, am I getting pranked? Yeah.
And I text him back and he goes, "Yeah, we're going to have a walk-on night. You know, I'm going to come back for it, and I'd love to have you there." So he offered me a walk-on spot on the team. You know, obviously I was absolutely thrilled of wanting to play at Nebraska since I was 5 years old. So, you know, that's kind of my story is had a bunch of success in high school, had, you know, put up crazy numbers or whatnot, and just could never get that Division I offer. You know, I like having, like, that chip on my shoulder is – kind of that underdog story of being a walk-on and whatnot, but that's kind of my story. Yeah. So,
awesome. And he has an unreal highlight tape, so check that out. We watched that the other night in the meeting room, and he absolutely obliterated some kid on the goal line. It was debatably illegal what he did on the field, but that's all right.
How about you, Heinrich?
You know, I guess being in state, and, you know, I have a whole lot of family in Nebraska.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure to kind of come here. But I think the best thing that happened to me was, you know, my dad played here in the 90s, but he and my mom, they took everything Nebraska down from the house and went during my recruitment. They didn't want any influence on me. They didn't want me to have any pressure from them to come to Nebraska. They wanted it to be my decision and go where I wanted to go. And so I think that was probably the best thing that happened to me because it really just opened my eyes. And, you know, I really explored my options. You know, I wasn't, you know, my grandparents and all of them, you know, there's a whole, all my family, they wanted me to come here. And, you know, it would just be little comments here and there, and so that was a little rough patch, you know. But you know, my parents just always made sure that I knew that I could go wherever I want, and they'd support me, and so that was kind of the biggest deal in my recruitment, I think.
Who was close? Who was second?
I don't know. I really liked Boston College.
Boston College.
Yeah.
Let's say what do you like about them?
They had a new coaching staff. Mm. Coach Halfley. He was the defensive coordinator at Ohio State, and then Coach Signetti. He was the Packers and Giants quarterbacks coach. And so just, you know, I had probably 20 Zoom meetings with him, just going over film and what he could do. And I really liked him, but I like Coach Verduzco more.
Oh, yeah. That's what we love to hear. Yeah.
Awesome. Then I guess, Logan, I mean, you're from Alabama. You had offers from South schools, I guess, Ole Miss and maybe a couple others. But said you kind of decided to come all the way up here, Midwest to Nebraska. Why was that? What kind of got you here?
Yeah. So my first visit here, me and my dad came up, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. Loved all the coaches, just the environment, and then finally getting to come to a game, the Ohio State game, seeing fans and the atmosphere. I mean, you guys know, it's freaking unreal.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome.
That part was huge, and then Coach Frost, of course, and, I mean, like Heinrich said, mainly Verdue.
Yeah.
He does a great job, and I really fell in love with him and everything he had to say, so that was probably the biggest part for me was Verdue.
Now, it seems like all of you were like, yeah, Verdue got it for me in recruitment. What did he say during your guys' recruitment that got you all?
He's such a unique guy, you know, and I think something I can attest to now is that he's true to himself in a way that, like, when he comes to recruit you, that's who that guy is.
He's not putting up a performance for you.
No, he's not. And almost at first, you're kind of I'll tell my little recruiting story first, and then you guys can go on. But came to my high school when he was at UCF, and, you know, at that time, they'd, like, call you out of class, and you'd walk to your coach's office, and you'd meet with this coach. And I get in there, and my head coach kind of has this, like, smile on his face. It's like, okay, like, I don't know. He's never usually kind of like that. And Verdue immediately is just cussing up a storm, like, going nuts. Like, for probably 10 minutes, I'm almost – my head is just flying all over the place. I'm like, this guy is – just a nut job. You know, like, I love him or somehow, but I don't know what half the things that he's saying is, you know. I don't know what's going on. And he leaves, and I'm kind of like, you know, I like him. I hear what he's saying. And my high school head coach, he's like, I'll tell you one thing, I play for that guy right there. I play for that guy. I was like, yeah, you know, I think you have a point. And so, you know, a bunch of events transpire. You know, I didn't end up going to UCF, but full circle comes around, and they're at Nebraska, and they recruit me there and pulled the trigger on that. But Verdue just has a special quality about him, and he's true to himself in every way.
I don't know. I think just the way he recruits and just the way he is when he recruits – it's so unique that it's almost like
there's no one that's doing what he's doing. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of guys that are the same and sound the same, and he stands out.
Yeah. And it's almost like it's so unique it can't be fake.
Mm.
Like, there's no way that he would put on this big facade and then just go on when you're there and just be just like
normal. Be a different guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably the realest person that I've ever met. And he's so genuine about it, and like we talked about earlier, he actually cares about us, and he takes the time to actually coach us individually, so I think that's pretty special about him.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't meet the guy until I stepped foot on campus. As a walk-on, it's just a little bit different of a recruiting place. You know, it's like Coach Frost, you know, he's like, hey, Matt, we'd like to offer you a walk-on spot. And I go, all right, I'm in.
For sure.
And I definitely heard stories about Coach Verduzco, a little bit from Noah Vedral. Mm. And, you know, the first day I'm on campus, I walk up to his office, and he's watching tape. He's got some opera music going in his room, and he's chewing on a cigar. And I go,
oh my gosh. You know, I'd never met the guy before.
My name's Matt.
You know, hey coach, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm a quarterback on the team.
If you knew.
Yeah. And so you know, it's hilarious that that was our first encounter. So I never really knew him in the recruiting process at all. So
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm curious about too is obviously Coach Frost was a quarterback, won national title and everything. How involved does he get with you guys? Obviously, quarterback is vastly important on a team. How much does he get involved compared to maybe other coaches you've had in the past in terms of quarterback?
Yeah, it's tough for me to say because, you know, I've never been in any other program in that way. But he, when it comes to certain elements of our run game, our pass game, I mean, he's the head honcho. You know, he's going to have the final say. So that input is there pretty regularly. Okay. And I think a great thing he does do is he does let Verdue do his job. You know, he's the quarterback coach. Yeah. But Frost has a complete input, and he's been there. He's done it, and he's done it here at a high level, and so that input's always been very valuable in our room.
Now, how much does he hold against you guys, Matt and Heinrich, for beating up on Wood River and breaking his records?
Well, Matt broke all his records. I just beat up on Wood River. Yeah.
That was bad. Yeah. I think they had there was a couple of people that covered that game last year, right?
Yeah, I got
What was the score?
I got pulled after the second quarter. The score was 60-3.
At the end of the game?
Is the end of the game, but our offense didn't score. I was 11 for 12 with like 7 touchdowns.
Gosh.
I never
poor
played
kids, Wood River. Man. You couldn't let them dream out there?
I was just throwing little flat routes, and I was just letting my teammates do whatever they wanted.
Whatever you say, man. Yeah. At least you're not like Masker and just freaking doing illegal stuff on the field.
Yeah.
Let's see, what's the biggest blowout in high school that you had against a team?
Wood River.
Man, that's a good question.
It feels like so long ago.
Probably, honestly, either GICC or Mitchell.
Mm.
Yeah, I got in during GICC. That's how bad it was.
You got in that game? Yeah. Heinrich used to be my backup back in high school. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I remember seeing little Heinrich on the sideline. Masker's highlight tape. Good old number 10.
How are you, Logan?
Oh, gosh. So my senior year, I didn't play in the second half until like week 7.
Oh, God.
we were killing folks.
You were that much like just ahead of your opponents.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So that kind of sucked, not getting to put up a big old stat line like Heinrich over here, but yeah. it was kind of fun just getting to play only half football sometimes.
I feel it. I think that only happened one time in my high school career.
Wow. We
played like a half. Yeah. I would say things were a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's gonna argue that.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's like Coach Harvey would usually leave me in there unless it was Minden or something.
That's because he didn't want me to play.
No, it's funny because Coach Harvey's wife is from Minden, and so he's got some connections there, and he doesn't want people giving him the stink eye when he goes to Minden. Hey,
oh, so he doesn't run it up on them.
Why didn't you take Masker out of the game, man? Yeah.
That's hilarious. I have a kind of random question. What made you guys choose the numbers that you have? I know with quarterbacks, that's kind of something, at least for me, that was always a bigger thing. And you have the same number from high school, right? And you do as well. And I don't. And Matt, you don't either. So what are kind of your reasons behind it?
Yeah. So middle school, I was a couple different numbers, mainly after my older brothers. I was their number, 2 and 12.
Oh, real quick, touch on that. Like, you have a big family, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how big are we talking?
I've got 4 brothers, so 2 older, 2 younger. I'm stuck in the middle.
Nice.
Yep. Dad's a ball coach, so. Mm. Yep. He was 2 his senior year because Johnny, of course. So naturally. I wore it 8th grade middle school. I wore 2, and then freshman year, I was 9 because I was at a new school and only number last available pick. Was 9. Yeah. Yeah, so that kind of sucked. And then I chose 8 just because I was a huge fan of Marcus growing up. I think everybody in this room loves Marcus, so that was probably the biggest influence for me, choosing 8.
I'd say I didn't want to go single digits.
Eli Manning was my guy.
No, I didn't want to go single digits. In all honesty, if Matt wouldn't have had 11, I probably would have been 11. But had to go 10, and I just stuck with it.
Mm. So just making it your number type of thing.
Yeah, it's my number.
I feel it.
Back off.
Yeah, I was number 11 in high school. I didn't really pick it. Kind of was just assigned it. And then when I got to college, for some reason, I started out being number 11, but Austin Allen was already number 11. So when I ended up making the travel roster my freshman year, they had to switch me numbers. But I had the choice to choose between 14 and 18. And, you know, I instantly thought about Brooke Behringer. And, you know, I always just wanted to wear that in his honor because as a walk-on quarterback, number 18 in the state is very special. And you know, I just want to be able to just kind of live out his legacy in every way off and on the field that I possibly can. And even as a kid, you know, Brooke Behringer was always such a polarizing figure as far as just a role model in the state of Nebraska, and that's exactly what I want to do, is just be a good role model for kids. So that's why I'm wearing 18.
100%, Matt.
Yep,
that's awesome. I should have went before you, because that's freaking awesome. I can't top that. You know what I mean? Yeah, in high school I was a sophomore. They made varsity and they gave the seniors the first pick, and 12 fell to me. So that's awesome. 12 is a huge quarterback number. And when I got here, I wanted to be 12. But old boy POB had 12. POB's Patrick O'Brien. He's now at Washington. He might be starting this year. I don't even know. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just – I put like three numbers up. It was like two – I definitely didn't want to be number three, because that just – I don't even want to go there. Didn't want to be number three.
You're telling me you're not Taylor's cousin or something?
Yeah, no doubt. Those jokes are finally dying down.
I'm
but
sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's okay. I put like two. It might have been like six and seven or something like that. And I got two. And I was like, all right, let's rock with it. And I was actually going to change my number once, because POB left like probably nine practices into spring ball, because it was a big quarterback competition and
whipped his ass.
Well, no, stop. I love POB, all right? But it was me, Tristan Jebbia, and then Bunch had beat out POB for being some contention sort of for that. And POB was like, I'm done, like I'm leaving. So that's just how it went. I was like, I'm going to switch to 12. And then I played in the spring game and I was like, well, I feel like I've already like made this number mine. Like I want to keep it. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I'm just stuck with it. I might go to. I like how Ved went to zero at Rutgers. That's pretty sweet. What are your thoughts on like a quarterback doing like 20, 21? Nope. You don't like that?
Can't do it.
It makes me think of Friday Night Lights. So.
So I can't do it. Yeah. Is what you're saying?
No.
You guys wouldn't approve it?
No.
Did a little number 20 action.
I think you can pull it off.
I appreciate that. I pulled off the arm sleeve today, low key. Yeah. That was kind of a move. Never done that before.
Juice sleeve.
Juice sleeve is what we needed. Juice this morning. Put on the sleeve.
20 a.m. That don't make any sense.
I always wanted. I always wanted to be 15 because of Timmy Tebow, you know, and you know it just never worked out. And
just never worked out.
Never worked out. Never was never meant to be. And so,
you guys share the same birthday, right?
Yes.
There's so many. Yeah. Yes. I mean, dude. Yeah, we won't even go there for you. For you, we won't. But, man, this guy is – I can't talk up Matt Masker enough. Literally, when I was telling my girlfriend about this guy, I'm like, he's probably the best guy I know. Like, he is awesome. So the Tim Tebow comparisons, and, you know, Tim Tebow has held up way a high standard. I think those are fair. I kind of wish and I kind of don't you were 15. You know what I mean? I want you to be your own guy.
Well, thank you, buddy. You know, 18 is a good number in the state, too. So
100%.
Bottom line, Matt Masker is a great guy. If you take away
anything from this podcast, it's not about any, you know, Logan Smothers, Heinrich Harbor. Matt Masker is that dude. Remember that.
We'll have more. We'll take a break. Even more coming up from the QB Room on Athletes Unfiltered. Stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back. Athletes Unfiltered, episode number 9. It's the QB Room. Joining us here, Adrian Martinez, along with Jeff Ekstrom, Heinrich Harburg, Matt Masker, and Logan Smothers in studio with us. And guys, we're going to the best part of the show, Tweets Unfiltered. But you guys aren't social media guys. What's up with that?
Yeah, no social media guys really here. Aston pre-show, they got nothing, which I would say is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But let's touch on social media and kind of the role it plays in your mind. And I know Husker Nation is big on there. Heinrich, maybe you could touch on that a little bit, and like your recruitment, Logan the same. General thoughts then, since you don't have any tweets to share with us.
Yeah, I mean, going through recruitment, like, you know, you see all these athletes like out of Florida, and like everyone, like, they'll shout out, they'll like tag at Husker Football Nation, show me some love. Because they
what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, they know how strong just like the support is from Nebraska, and like how just, I don't know, how active Nebraska's social media is. And I think it's a good thing, but it's also a curse at the same time.
Mm. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. The fans here are very active on social media, and I think that's also huge for us. You know, you love to see the support, but at the same time, at the quarterback position, it can kind of be a nightmare too.
Yeah.
For sure. I've seen some great stuff from the fans. You know, they're very active and they show support for everybody. So that was also huge for my recruitment too. You know, showing a lot of love. So that was big. Yeah. That was great to see.
Are you guys I feel like Heinrich over here is the guy who's like, show me some love, Husker Nation.
I
feel like he's that
guy. No, I wasn't like that.
No, dude, I don't know if you figured that out, but that's one thing, like the active players, when we see that on Twitter, we're like, oh, we're giving that guy shit.
Yeah.
When he's on Twitter, you know, show me love, give me some follows. We had a guy when I was first here, I won't throw names out there, but he was like, give me to 10K, Husker Nation. Give me to 20K. He's like, bro, we haven't even played a game yet, man. Got to ball out a little bit. They'll get you there.
Be careful. There's a couple guys on the team I've seen do that already.
See, I was going to ask.
They'll be hearing about it.
Yeah, I was like, who did you guys give crap to about that when they first came in? That's still on the team now.
See, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, so I won't say names. Okay. But I will say there were some active social media accounts that were just, you it's one of those like internal team type of things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, don't do too much talking before you've been on the field and proved whatever. Like, it's, we're kind of looking out for you in a way. And you know, there's a couple guys came in that maybe just doing a little too much on social media. Like, there's a role for that, and especially now more than ever. Mm-hmm. With name, image, and likeness, where you want to encourage that, and people have to be out there and engaged, it could just be tricky, you know, especially if you're a younger guy, and it can rub some other guys the wrong way.
Yep, don't want to disrupt that locker room chemistry at all with that, with the, I guess, the portrayal you're putting on social media.
Yeah, for sure.
But say, has that kind of shaped your perspective a little bit about social media with NIL passing and trying to take advantage of all that with NIL?
You know, I like Instagram, and you know, I try to stay off Twitter. I mean, Twitter's just a bunch of keyboard rangers trying to
keyboard rangers
like that
express that their opinion. Nice. And
yeah,
everyone thinks that their opinion is, you know, the only opinion out there, and that's the only thing that matters. And you know, that's not always the case, but you know, with the whole NIL thing, is like, yeah, you can, there's definitely some positive things that we could potentially take advantage of, but I don't know. You know, sometimes it's oftentimes we use social media in a selfish way instead of a positive way of, mm-hmm. you know, maybe spreading positivity. You know, it's really not used as in that way as much, which I kind of like it to be, but I honestly kind of try to stay away from Twitter, and I usually just kind of end up being stressed out if I end up reading stuff reading into stuff on Twitter. But
smart.
There definitely is some positive things about social media, just kind of, you know, depending on how you use it and what your outlook is on it, you know. Mm. But
yeah, for sure. Would you guys say, you like Heinrich, Logan, have you guys tried to like ramp up your use or
no. In fact, I think since NIL passed, I've tweeted less. I think just I don't know. I feel like when you just throw stuff out there, like people just start like scrolling by you. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, you want it to, like, you know, like when you tweet or whatever, to be like, oh, it's not something that happens all the time.
Yeah, like
to pay attention to that.
Like when I tweet, like I want it, like I want people to like see it and like actually read about like what I have to say, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's valid.
Yeah, I totally get that.
I haven't, I don't know, last time I tweeted anything. Jeez, it's been a while. So, yeah, I'm not very active on Twitter. Just when something comes up, I'll tweet something, but
more of a Graham guy.
Yeah.
Now, I guess with that, are you guys? What else do you guys like to do off the field here? We've talked about golf a little bit, but how about movies, video games? What do you guys like to do?
Masker, take the lead on this one.
All right, here we go.
You know, I love spending time outside. You know, I love to golf, fish, and hunt, and so obviously as you know, as a student athlete right now, you don't have a ton of time to do the things that you love other than football. You know, but any chance I get in the summertime, you can probably find me near a, you know, a local farm pond around Kearney, or in the winter, I love to hunt. Don't really get to do a whole lot of fall and a ton of springtime hunting. But you know, I just love being outside. I love the outdoors, and that's kind of where you can find me away from football. So that's, those are the things I like to do.
Got to join the UNL bass team. Going to a couple of national tournaments there. Yeah.
You know, I went fishing with Hunter Sutchland, who's on the bass team, and he, obviously he can kick my tail in fishing, but it's fun.
How do you, like, I don't have enough experience, but like, how do you compete fishing in that way? Like, is the technique just that much superior?
Dude, it's like, crazy. It's like once you get into fishing, you understand how hard it actually is and how much you actually have to know. It's like guys are getting into the water temperature, you know, is the sun out? Like, you know, if it's like a cloudy day, if it's windy,
and that changes,
like,
it all depends, that changes on the way they like
what you're throwing
the
out.
They play, and then like the way they move it, type of deal.
Yeah,
too,
dude, I have
you know?
I have a buddy named Grant who's just an insane fisherman. I go, anytime I go out, I go, hey Grant, it's cloudy, 67 degrees, water temperature is 82 degrees. And I go, what should I throw today? And he'll text me the exact thing, and I'll catch a bass the first cast, and it's like, obviously, I'm not at that level yet. I'll probably never will be.
Freaking nuts! But that's just, I need that.
I
need that. Last time I went out, I didn't catch a thing for like 3 hours. I never.
I'm not that good a fisherman, but I know some good fishermen. So anytime I can get their help, it's a bonus.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So it's not about what you know; it's about who you know.
Life.
Really, that's my tip.
What about you guys, Heinrich?
You know, I'm still getting acclimated to Lincoln. You know, just
You're pretty new here, huh?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the ropes. You know, see what's around here. I just like, you know, hanging out with the guys. You know.
Yeah. You guys got to move off campus, right?
Yeah, the early enrollees, we got to move off campus.
Yeah, this guy. I always tell this, but my class, we paved the way for these guys and the guys after me, but I stayed in the suites, like the dorms here on campus for a year and a half. Because you weren't allowed to, so after like that half year, you weren't allowed to like move off campus yet. And like, we're trying everything we can, we just can't do it. And the very next year, the early enrollees got to move off. And then these two guys got to as well. So, you know, you're welcome. Gonna be honest, I paved the way, had to struggle for you guys, but.
The suites aren't too bad.
They're not half bad. And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way, because I got to know the class above me and then my actual true class and live with both those groups of guys. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'd say the suites are definitely good bonding time with the teammates. I enjoyed the suites. But, you know, like Matt said, I like to fish a little bit. Summertime, definitely would want to be on a boat out in the water. Love that. And then I'm a big gamer, so love to game.
What games are you into?
You know, I've played a little bit of Madden 22. It's
it sucks. It sucks.
I wish they would stop.
Just be honest, it sucks.
Copy and pasting every year. The last three years they've done it. It's awful.
It really frustrates me. I don't know about you, Logan, but like playing the game and feeling like I should be able to do certain things, and it just not, or like knowing how I want to throw a ball or something, and I see a linebacker levitate 3 feet and like one hand snag it. I'm like, this sucks, you know? Part of a video game that's cool is that it is unrealistic in a way,
yeah,
and that you could do things. You know, NCAA 14, it's simple. We were talking about this the other day. I can have my quarterback roll out 10 yards to the left and throw it 60 yards downfield. Like, yeah, it's fun. You know, it's a video game. And in Madden, it's like if I get it's just like you guys run into linemen and fall over, and it's just frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, NCAA is definitely the superior of the two and always will be in my book.
Always will be. 100%.
And, yeah, I'm definitely ready for the new one to come out. That's going to be a great day.
Well, that won't be until... like
2 years?
2 years, and then they're not using names.
What?
Right? They're only using university logos and whatnot. So I think that's kind of a way to get out of paying the players.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. I just don't know how they're even going to do like the ratings for players. It's just going to be auto-generated, which kind of sucks.
I mean, you know that people are going to make rosters and like
yeah, you can like download the roster.
So be, yeah,
can do that.
Someone will take the time to make all those rosters. I don't know how they have that much time on their hands.
Well, I think I saw it on a Reddit forum, but they'll put certain people in charge of like making a roster. Like usually won't be one guy that makes like the entire landscape. It's like, all right, like I'm gonna do maybe three teams in the Big 12 and like. All my buddies were, you know, people that care about whatever school, they're going to put more into that, and those hopefully stay true to it. But, hey.
I feel like there could be a little bit of bias in there.
Probably. But, hey, we'll see how it shakes out. You know, I'll be excited, too. I'll definitely have to get that one when that comes out, just because. Just like I got the show when it finally came to Xbox, because I have an Xbox. Xbox gang. I don't know about you guys.
Xbox.
PlayStation gang. Yep.
But
I'm more of a GameCube guy.
GameCube. Yeah. This is the last console you had or what?
You know, I in high school, family had like an Xbox 360, and my little brother got an Xbox One. And honestly, when everyone started switching to the Xbox One, that's kind of when I stopped playing.
You got lost in
transition. Yeah, I just kind of got like I'm not gonna keep up with the times here. I'm gonna do my thing.
Well, dude,
I just kind of stopped playing games after that.
I was kind of like the same way in high school because all my buddies and I played was NCAA. Like, we didn't play anything else. And then once I got to college, I was like, my first semester, a couple months went by. I was like, I kind of wanted an Xbox, so I bought one Xbox One.
Yeah, I kind of figured I wouldn't really have a whole lot of time in college anyway, so I was like, well, I'm not gonna... you know, get myself into this, and then it's going to be harder to quit and stop playing later. You know, it's like the more I continue to play. So I was like,
yeah,
you know what? If I'm with my buddies on Friday night and we want to play some GameCube, some Mario Kart. I mean, those are the best games to me anyway. You know,
it's kind of true, dude. Those games are fun.
Playing like MLB The Show, like 2006. And you got like Gary Sheffield on the Yankees.
Yeah, that's. Or, like, there's nothing better than that. Like some throwback games.
It's so sweet. Yeah,
old players.
Yeah, and you can't count out Wii Sports.
Yep.
Yes,
Wii Sports is iconic. Yes. And playing the baseball game, bowling. I mean,
it's the best. Golf, tennis.
Well, Xbox One was my first console. So,
your first console?
Yeah.
How old are you again?
I'm 18.
Cap, he's 16. He's 16. So what, did you not, like, growing up, you just didn't have a console? It wasn't something, like, your family was...
My mom would never let me.
Hey, I respect that, though, because my parents, I wasn't allowed to have social media until I was a sophomore in high school, and that was only because I was getting recruited, so I only had a Twitter, and I wasn't allowed to have a Snapchat until I was, like, a senior in high school. Stuff like that, you know? Okay, I'll laugh at you now. This dude didn't have a console until... this year, whatever. No, but I mean, everyone has their things, and their parents have their things.
Yeah.
See, I was trying to sympathize with this guy, and he starts laughing at me. He's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Let's see. What? Did you guys have any of those restrictions growing up at all? I mean, obviously, Henrik, do you have the video game? What did you guys have?
I mean, no, I'm not really. I remember I was probably 6 or 7, and... parents got us a GameCube for Christmas, but it was like a family gift, and it was, you know, I mean, there's really nothing bad you can get into on GameCube, I don't think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, I mean, I didn't really have any kind of video game restrictions or anything. I mean, I never really spent a ton of time with it. I mean, I think I had a couple games. I had, like, NCAA Football 2003, any MLB The Show game or whatever, 2K6 or whatever. And
yeah, 2K.
Mario
2K
Kart games. And... Remember those SSX snowboarding games? You guys ever play those?
Dude, those were fun.
I had the sweet. I had that one too. BMX, like the BMX game. You know, the bikes. Mm. I don't know.
But you know, like on PS2. It was something that my brothers and I did together. So it wasn't. It was kind of just a fun thing. We didn't really. We spent so much more time outside playing stuff together than we did inside. So. You know, they were never too worried about it. But
I think we were lucky enough to be in the age range where. We had technology, like we grew up with technology, but not to the extent of where it's at now, where it's like almost consuming. You know what I mean? Like, I had a PS2 that I played with my buddies, but that wasn't like my primary entertainment. You know, like we would much rather go outside. But yeah, like maybe at night and have a sleepover with my buddies, and we're all playing like 2K6 basketball, whatever.
Yeah, like, everyone's first phone now is an iPhone 13.
Dude, I had a Ladybug phone.
And I had
911 at home.
I had, like, a Samsung Intensity 1, and it was, like, one of those, it was probably, like, honestly, 3 inches, and it was a slide-up thing, and I probably couldn't even press the buttons down. My fingers were probably too big to even text on it now, but, I had that phone for, like, 4 years.
Well, dude, imagine what Logan went through. He probably had one of those like super big phones.
He had the cord phone.
Because he's like 36 right now.
No. Actually, my first phone was an iPhone 5C in like eighth grade or maybe freshman year. So I didn't get a phone until freshman year.
All right. Respect. And we're all, these are kind of first class problems, you know. and there's probably some older people on right now or listening, whatever, that are thinking like, oh geez, these guys, you know, like we back in my day we didn't have anything.
I was picking cotton with the scythe.
What is that?
The little like blade thing the Reaper has. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, yeah. Good reference, Harper.
Thank you.
I think we grow more corn out here than cotton though.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't tell you the closest cotton field around here, buddy, but.
Get roasted, kid. All right, on to the next thing. Let's dive into a little bit of football stuff. Being a quarterback, got to do a lot of big brain time thinking, right? On the field, off it, got to put in a lot of time in the film room. What's probably the most challenging part in your mind of playing quarterback in football? Is it, you know, defensive front? Is it reading coverages? Is it the leadership aspect? What is the most challenging part for you guys?
I'd say it depends on, like, in high school, I think it was probably, like, the leadership part. You know, I mean, in high school, we all just kind of did whatever we wanted, I feel like. I mean, yeah, there's still, like, some, like, thinking involved, but, I mean, for the most part, we were all good enough athletes to do whatever we wanted on the field. But, like, once you get to college, like, I mean, for me, it's been just, like, just absorbing the amount of playbook that there is and then just, like, applying it to see, like, I guess, like, the coverages, like, you know, knowing, like, where someone is and where to throw the ball before they're there.
Yeah, anticipating that.
Yeah,
defense is probably the thing for me. You know, it's just defense is always changing. There's so many aspects of defense, you know, fronts, coverages, morphs, all that stuff. And I think if you're able to see a defense and know exactly what they're going to do and where they're going to be, then you can have that anticipation and you know exactly what's going to happen. You know where you're going to go with the ball, and that just makes everything so much easier.
You know, I would say, you know, the leadership aspect of being a quarterback has always come pretty natural to me, and it's kind of why I first kind of fell in love with the quarterback position is,
yeah, definitely
being able to, you know, huddle up with those guys and look them in the eye and like, let's go, let's like rally up your troops. And that's why I love the quarterback position, is you have so much influence over your team.
Yeah.
And everyone's counting on you and relying on you, you know, to lead them. And so that's the part that I love about the quarterback position. But, you know, like,
as a quarterback, you have so much responsibility on your side of the ball and the other side of the ball. It's like you got to know what everyone's doing on both sides of the ball at all times. And, you know, I think the biggest thing coming into college, the hardest thing for me was, again, like the anticipation and the speed of the game. Obviously, that's slowed down much for me now. I mean, this is my fourth year in this offense. But just taking it to the next level and understanding that, you know, the defense is, you know, disguising something, and just understanding what those disguises typically look like and where they're going to be ending up.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like,
what are the weak links of what they're in? What are they trying to do? You know, what do we need to be in protection-wise?
It's chess, not checkers, now? You know? And it's the way, you know, disguise a blitz or disguise a certain coverage. And, you know, there's always a giveaway. And you can always usually pick it out if you watch enough film that week.
Yeah.
But those are the...
And sometimes there's not, though. Sometimes there isn't a giveaway. And
yeah.
You have to react and, like, rely on kind of the film you watched or what you've seen. Trust your eyes.
You just got
to
trust yourself and trust the game plan, trust your coaches, and that they're going to be putting you in the correct position every single play. And that just comes down to trust. And that's, I think, something that just comes with time.
Mm. 100%. I mean, it's all a process, and there's so much to it. I mean, from, like you guys said, knowing everything that we're doing on offense, you know, knowing what the receiver has, what the lineman needs to do, what his block is, what my read's going to be based on what the defense has given us. All right, the defense changes looks. How does that change my read? How does that change our assignments, what my guy's running, what I'm supposed to be doing? And then what the coach is expecting out of this play, why it's being called down in distance, what do we need here, what are we doing, what are they thinking down in distance, situation in the game. There's all these type of things that as you grow experience-wise, it becomes easier to process. And I imagine guys like Aaron Rodgers, it's second nature for him at this point. I mean, he's seen it all. That was something they said about Peyton Manning, you know, like, or Tom Brady. They're trying to disguise some defense, and he's like, I've seen this. I saw this 3 years ago in the NFC champ. You know, whatever. Yeah. Like, they have it dialed, you know, and that, I think that's a process for every quarterback is learning how to make that information just flow quicker.
And once you begin to understand, you know, it's chess, not checkers, it's such a strategic game, and the position that we play, if you don't put that time in the film room, or, you know, if you're not putting that time studying, you know, your opponent and your own offense and continuing to keep up with the times as the game continues to develop, and it's just, you have to keep up with it, you know, and it's the higher level of football you continue to play at, the more that becomes apparent, you know.
Yeah.
And you get left behind if you don't.
It seems like the guys who are the most successful or who make it, because, I mean, all the guys who make it to the NFL are studs, you know, and those quarterbacks, I mean, I've seen it firsthand. I've trained with a guy who was a 7-year NFL quarterback who spent his whole career being a third-string guy, and he had an absolute cannon. Mm-hmm. I mean, physical attributes, sling the rock. So why isn't that guy a starter? It's the decision he's made on the field. You know, he has all the talent to make all the decisions on the field, but how are those decisions being made? And it's, you know, why Tom Brady's so successful. And part of that also is it's a team game. It's a crazy environment type sport, and you have to have trust in those guys around you. You have to have trust in that receiver to be exactly where he needs to be, for those linemen to do their job, pick up the protection, whatever, and everyone be on the same page. You have to trust the calls. It is the ultimate team sport, and quarterback is one of the most challenging positions, I think, and I mean, we're biased, but in my opinion, you know.
I don't think there's a more important position in all sports, at least challenging.
I will say, though, and this is something I know our room is pretty strong in believing, is that it is the ultimate team game.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady, you know, let's say Pat Mahomes couldn't do his job if he was, you know, if he was on a lesser team, he would not be as grand and as great as he has been in his career. That's part of it. And yes, he's playing at an incredibly high level, and he is important, but he can't do anything without the supporting cast. And that's what I think makes football so great. Quarterback just gets a lot of the glamour sometimes because he's the guy throwing the ball downfield, getting the touchdowns, whatever. It's kind of been made into a I don't want to say more important than it is, because I do believe it's an incredibly important position, but sometimes get too much credit, you know.
They overshadow some other positions.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I mean, like, you're talking about Pat Mahomes and, like, just the success that he's had and with the people around him. Like, I think we saw that during the Super Bowl, like, last year when, who was it, Mitchell Schwartz? Yeah, they were missing, like, three offensive linemen. I mean, we saw – I mean, Patrick Mahomes was still doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah, because he's a stud, but exactly. He could not to the full extent of what he's capable of because of his – you know, just the situation they were put in, and you rely on guys. It's a game of football. You have to. You got 11 guys out there, and they have a job to do. If one guy doesn't do his job, the play's not going the way it should.
Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap it up from us here on episode number 9 of Athletes Unfiltered. The QB Room episode. Henrik Harburg, Matt Masker, Logan Smothers. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us, buddy. It was a blast. Hope you invite us back sometime.
Yeah.
Tell us some more stories.
This is just part one. We have lots of stories in this room that will be shared. Oh. Just a matter of time.
It's great to be here. Appreciate you guys.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming in and for everyone for listening in. Make sure to follow the podcast at ATH on Filter on both Twitter and Instagram. And follow our personals at Exxon Sports and at Martinez the QB. If you're feeling generous, you can donate to us on Spotify or even our Patreon, where you get exclusive content behind the scenes, extra segments you won't be able to listen to anywhere else. From Adrian Martinez, I'm Jeff Ekstrom. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
A Huda Media Production.